Okay, class time. Research says that you always start class with reviewing what you taught last. What that does is activate and get all those memories back up and prepare you to connect to them. So I started the first 2 weeks ago, what did Messiah change? So what did I teach? That's good. We talked about Adam and Eve and sin. We talked about a word called enmity, hostility, separation, distance. We saw how the cherubim were in a garden to set up a separation, a protection between us and the tree that would cause us to live without God forever. And now those same cherubim were on the ark, which were the entrance of entering the holy place where Yahweh was going to be. And that in what Yeshua did, as we see in Revelation, as we see through the letters of Paul, is he went and destroyed the enmity of the law. The separation and the hostility that was brought on by sin. And we showed that even in Revelation, that now the enmity is gone because it says that, and we used the idea of the tabernacle, how it had ram skins as one of its coverings. But that Yahweh and Yeshua were going to be a tabernacle of which we were going to be able to worship in and be with. And so what I said is that the next time I got up here, I wanted to bring it from Yeshua's own teachings because we didn't really get into his own words. We got into everybody else, and I tried to build. Now, I also want to make a moment and thank Patrick because he couldn't have set me up perfect for today in the idea of covenant and renewing it, even if I had told you that's what I was going to talk about. But again, I see that as sort of, again, as Yahweh works, it is perfect. So, turn me to Luke chapter 5 because we want to look at Yeshua's words. Now, this section quite often is a head-scratcher. We look at it and read it and go, I have no idea what he's talking about here. There's so many deep metaphors that Yeshua is making a point of that we sort of get lost in it. And again, if you don't have the Torah, the concrete foundation of Torah, you're going to just go, I don't know. That's the secret things. Right? So Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 33. And they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, likewise those of the Pharisees? But yours eat and drink. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. He continues, then he spoke this parable. So this parable is to try and explain what he's been talking about. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one could have put a new wine in old wineskins or else be spoiled and the wineskins be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. The old is better. So key concepts, I'm hoping to cover all of these. So these are key concepts. Fasting, number one. He brings up the concept of a bridegroom. He brings up the concept of a new patch. This would be the idea, again, that you have a hole in your clothes and you're going to put a patch on it. Okay? New wine skin, new wine or old wine skins. He brings up that concept. And old is better. Now, not all of the Gospels have this line in it, but I think it is significant and I think it is actually important for us to understand this. So let's talk about fasting for a moment. To do that, we're going to need to go to Zechariah. It's not very far. Go back through your Gospels, just two books. Okay? Go back through your Gospels. You're going to go back two books. I'm not going to say into the Old Covenant, because guess what? It's the same covenant. Right? Because we don't have an old and new. We just have what was and what was renewed. Right? One way or another. So we're going back, same book, same person that wrote it. So Zechariah chapter 7. Something I know, or I've been here quite recently, a lot. Starting with verse 2. When the people sent Shazer and Regem-Melech, his men, to the house of God to pray before Yahweh and to ask the priests that were in the house of Yahweh of hosts, and the prophet saying, should I weep in the fifth month as I fast and have done for so many years? Then Yahweh said, then the word of Yahweh the host came to me saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and the seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me! When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which Yahweh proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around them were inhabited and prosperous in the south and the lowlands were inhabited? You need to know that the people have just come back to Jerusalem, and this fast that they're speaking about is not Yom Kippur. These are two of the fasts that are called minor fasts. They were created by the Pharisees of the time, and they were doing it in regard of the destruction either of the temple or something bad that had happened in Jerusalem. And so the people are asking a simple question. Should we fast now that we're back here? And Yahweh goes, fast. Did you fast to me before? Meaning you really didn't. When you ate and drank and consumed, did you do it to me? No, 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 no. You did it to yourselves. So why fast? So my point here is not to go through it in depth here, but fasting as a whole is done in this regard in a religious sense. We think that fasting is our way to get hold of the puppet strings of Yahweh. Because if I didn't pray hard enough, oh, no, 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 there's a secret weapon. If I fast and pray, then Yahweh has to listen to me and He has to do what I want. If you know Yahweh, you know that He's smiling at that thought. But that's what is thought by most people today, even though they don't realize it in regard of trying to control. We fast in Scripture because someone's coming against us. And what we're asking Yahweh in fasting, though we may know already the answer, is it you, Yahweh, who are coming against us? Because if you're on our side, no one can destroy us. But if it's you that's coming against us, we will be destroyed. No one that stands against you will stand. Period. So why fast? You fast to see from Yahweh's eyes. You fast to make sure you're on the right side. It's putting the flesh aside to just be in a place of the Spirit. Zechariah continues in 8:18. And the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth. Again, these are all not, this is not Yom Kippur, these are man-made fasts. Shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. Love truth and peace. Meaning these fasts are going to be taken away from you, and you're just, there's going to be celebrations. It's going to be a celebration. What I want you to start thinking about is, what is these new words? And these are new words that are spoken of right here. These fasts are new. Yahweh did not proclaim them. Yahweh did not set them up. These new words, these new teachings, it doesn't seem like Yahweh is really looking forward to them. In fact, He speaks of them as their fasts. They're your fasts. And you got to think about it too. Yeshua is sitting here going, all right, I'm the Word of God. I am standing among you. Why are you fasting? If the Torah is sitting there right in front of you, why do you need to fast? Because that means Yahweh is with you, because His Word is with you. Right? Simple, A plus B equals C. Bridegroom. The bridegroom is a concept of a marriage or a covenant. And so this covenant is a celebration. You're celebrating making covenant, or if another way to think about it is, I have made covenant, but now I want to re-up my vows. I'm going to re-up my vows because I want them to be new to me again, because you know what? I didn't think about them anymore. And you know what? They were such a major blessing to me on that wedding day, but I've lost track of their meaning. I want to renew that. Yeshua is Word, Torah made flesh. We need to hold on to that thought. Fasting is done when Yahweh and His Word are far away, when there is enmity. That's when we fast. And so if the Word, which is the bridegroom, and if we and the Word are one, covenant, and the Word and Yahweh are one, covenant, then we and Yahweh are one. Simple. Right? So the bridegroom's with us. Why in the world are we going to fast? It's celebration time. And you shall call Him, who? Yeshua, Emmanuel. Why? Because God is with us. So why fast? Why are we fasting? The only reason you'd be fasting at this point is to be doing something religious in front of everyone. Not because you want to be closer to Yahweh. Yahweh is here. His Word is walking among us. The new patch. This is quite important. Turn with me to Leviticus. This by itself could be the key passage to unlocking these parables. Leviticus chapter 13. Now in Leviticus 13, you have this idea of leprosy, which is very much like the idea of leavening. When sin or leavening gets in the bread, it causes the thing to what? Puff up. Leprosy would cause the skin to puff up and there would be a boil or some kind of problem in the skin or into whatever it got into. It was a mold, it was an infection. Leviticus 13, and I'm going to start with verses 1 through 3. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on his skin of his body a swelling, a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, hold on to that word, it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he should be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the sore or the spot on the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore is turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore, the priest shall examine him and pronounce him completely unclean. Now, if you were unclean, by the way, you were completely put out of the camp. You'd have to wear a certain garment, and you would literally walk among the people. If you walked saying, unclean, unclean, declaring to everybody you were unclean. And you would live outside the camp. Now, we again miss this today because we sit and go, well, what's the big deal? Back then, to be on the outside of the camp, you had no security. Today, it would be like saying, if you live at, like, say, an apartment complex, well, at night in the middle of New York, go ahead now and live outside. And I don't want a tent, just right out there on the sidewalk. You see, you weren't among the people, or there was no security. Anyone could come out and pick you off. You were without that security, and it was dark, because the fire that was Yahweh's presence was in the center of the camp. To you to be on the outskirts would be darker and darker and darker. Now notice here, the skin is a covering for you, and this covering for you has an infection in it. So your covering has a problem. You're like, but Rabbi Paul, that's not a shirt. That's not a garment. You're missing out on the specifics of the parable. Maybe I am. But it's talking about a spot in the skin. And I do want you to hold that. Same chapter, verse 53. Chapter 13, verse 53. When the priest examines it, and indeed the plague is not spread in the garment, either the warp or the woof, or in anything made of leather. This is where they find a spot on a piece of cloth. Notice that it's wool or leather. Leather, of course, is what? Skin. It's a garment you wear. The priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and that shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague is not changed in color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, you shall burn it in fire, if it continues eating away, with its damage on the outside and inside. If the priest examines it, indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment. Okay? So if there is a plague in the garment you're wearing, but the plague is disappearing, it is not infectious, the priest is commanded to tear out that piece of your garment or cut out. The spot on the garment is torn out, creating a need for a patch. This is the only time you're going to see in Scripture this idea where something needs to be patched that is a garment you're going to wear. So invariably, this is what Yeshua was speaking of. This is the connection in Torah that he is bringing us to. New wine and old wineskins. Well, new wine is something you've just done. Now, what we've got to be very careful with any new wine is you don't know if those grapes are going to turn out well or not until later. Could they be poisonous? We don't know. And in regard to the fasting, these are new teachings. It did not seem that Yahweh liked this new wine. He says, "You did that to me? To me? Come on. You're going to say that to my face?" He didn't like this new wine. And we've got to be very careful in this regard of a new wine, because what is being created new? Why wasn't it already around? Anything that should be there for us in regard, again, wine being the idea of a covenant or words. If there are new words, then we should be hesitant. Hesitant of these words of covenant or words that are spoken by Yahweh. Old wineskins. This is one of my favorite parts. Again, I love speaking, going through the word of Yahweh, but being able to do this. That is a wineskin. Now, what you may not know is that it is actually an animal. They take the animal and they skin the animal. And we're talking legs, up through the neck, tail, and they have to tie the skin to seal it. They're going to then pour in the wine into the wineskin when it is new. Now, this is significant because when you put the wine in, there is a level of yeast you put in with the that goes in with the wine to ferment it. And this wine, this covenant, has to be aged. Well, this fermenting causes the actual wine to grow, expand. And because this is a skin, it can expand with it. But it will expand to only a certain level. Now, after it's reached that level and dried out, do you think you could put new wineskin into this skin and it will be as flexible, or will it burst the skin? Now, what's significant here is this is talking about a skin or the container of the covenant, a covering in essence. You don't need to go there. I brought this up last time. Genesis 3 is the reality of Adam and Eve being tempted by the enemy, given a choice. Now, what's important here is there are some new words added. There's Hasatan's words. Oh, you won't die. Oh, you'll be like Yahweh. All you got to do is eat it. You don't need to actually follow his commands. Just eat of this. We also have man's new commandment, which says, and you shall not touch. Now, I do want to back up to clarify. How do I think that it's Adam's commandment? Well, it says in Genesis that Yahweh spoke to man, you shall not eat of the fruit. Then man and woman are separated. And Eve says, Yahweh said. So when Eve says Yahweh said, and she wasn't there to hear firsthand, there's only one other person that's left to point the finger at. And you shall not touch. Because you can't say Eve said that. Because then Eve said, well, I think. It says, and Yahweh said. So the new words were what man added. Now, what's significant too is that an animal is slaughtered to give them a covering, a skin that would go over them. The skin is needed, otherwise Yahweh would have to kill them. The skin gives mercy. Now, in any skin, if you've just killed an animal, there is what? Blood. So in some regard, as he looks on this new skin that they're wearing, he sees this reality of blood spilled, and he goes, okay, you know what? I can give you mercy for now. I can give you mercy. New commandment versus old commandment. Yahweh said first, don't eat of the tree. New commandment, don't touch it. Corrupted tree. The word gets corrupted when we add on to it thinking that we are like Yahweh, that we can put in. And, oh, no, I'm as wise as Yahweh, so I can put a few extra words in here. So you understand, because I want you to understand better. They realized they needed a covering. We know that. Yahweh gave them a covering of skins. It was temporary because even this skin would wear out. So whatever covenant this was, it was still going to be temporary because it's made of things that are temporary here. There had to be a better covering made in the heavenlies, is my point. They're not killed. That's the reality of the mercy that's given. From this point on, he instates this idea that I'm going to allow an animal, because you see, animals don't have choice. They can only do what they do. And these certain animals aren't going to go out and they're not going to be just killing. They're going to be eating of the cud, chewing the cud of the grass. They're going to do whatever they're doing. And so I'm going to allow their death because they are spotless to make up for you, to be the covering over you. And does it take away your sin or make the covenant perfect again? No, it's just temporary. So again, when the scripture says in this week's Torah portion, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, in judgment, this must balance. And the only way it will balance is a man or a human for a human. An animal will never, ever balance out the life of a human. Cannot. It cannot. Genesis 22, don't need to go there, you can go back later. This is the reality of offering Isaac. In that regard of offering Isaac, you have the seed of a promise. The seed can be a child. It can be a word. It is the seed of a promise that's given. Sacrifice your only son. And he speaks of Abraham, which of course Abraham's name is the father. Sacrificed your only son. Laid the wood on Isaac. Isaac's the one that has to carry it. You can see how he gets really tired carrying that tree up the hill for the sacrifice. Yahweh will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. This goes back to what Patrick taught today. It has to be a burnt offering. Completely consumed. You get nothing, no part of this. And what's significant is the ram is substituted for the son. What if I told you that wineskins were made of ram? Most of the times, and the one you saw there was made from a ram. Would this ram, whose horn is caught up, is substitute as the sacrifice for Isaac? And Yahweh, and Abraham sees a vision and says, oh, Yahweh will provide. Yahweh's going to provide it. Exodus 12, 1 through 7. If you'll turn with me to there, to that verse. If you're still in Leviticus, it's not too far. I could have gone to many verses for this. But I want to go back to the beginning. Tie these pieces in. Verses 1 through 7. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month is to be beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of your year. And Patrick already said this, it's the idea of starting over. So when he's instituting this, he's the idea, I'm starting over. It's like a new beginning for you. It's like Bereshit in the beginning. And this shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man should take for himself a lamb for a household, the father. And the household is too small for a lamb. Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without a, some may say blemish. The word there is the same as spot. When you go get this lamb, there could be no blemish or spot. Remember we read in Leviticus the idea of a spot, what we're talking about. The male of the first year, you should take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you should keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they should take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house where they eat it. Where they eat it. This is to be a new beginning. In the beginning, starting over. You're going to take a lamb according to the house of the Father. This lamb that has to be provided in the end must be from Him. He has to provide it. The lamb must be without a blemish or a spot. That means that if we're going to take the place, remember in this case, your eldest son is being saved because the lamb is taking his place. He's referring to a blemish on the skin or their garment or their covering. And he's saying, someone has to take its place who has no spot. Someone the Father has already provided you because it's still in the first year, but Yahweh provided that new animal for you to then have. Now, did you know it when it was born? Probably not. The lamb replaces the firstborn. Now that's not only significant here, but the firstborn of all living. Again, I spoke the last time that this is like us being like Abraham, where we're offering our son, but Yahweh at the last minute says, no, I'm going to give you a replacement. I'm giving a replacement for that. Verses to consider. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Referred to as Yeshua. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means that this Word existed as a covenant was being made in the beginning. Word became flesh, like skin given to patch the original skin. Because remember, new skin, or a new patch, when you go to put it on, the new material will stretch. Or actually will shrink, causing the hole to become worse. The only thing that can fix the problem is something that already exists, an original part of what was already there. Before Abraham was, I was. Yeshua says this. Not him in flesh, not him the person, the Word. The Word existed. Because it wasn't called Yeshua until the Word became flesh and Yahweh named him. And the name was just to say, this is my hand, this is me working inside of history for you. Hebrews 8. We're getting near the end here. We'll finally start tying some of these pieces up. So Hebrews chapter 8. And just hold on, because we're going to be right around in here. Now again, you can see how it ties into what Patrick was already saying today. 7 through 13. For this to be true, there has to be a problem with the first covenant. What's the problem with the first covenant? What is the part the priest had to rip out? Man. Sin. There has to be another one to take Adam's place. But he has to actually predate Adam to be a part of the original covenant. He can't come later as a new thing. And even when we talk about scriptural new, we're talking about renewing, restoring. Like a new earth. It'd be like Yahweh going, I'm going to allow all the magma in the earth, just could be the whole earth become magma, and then it's going to cool again and we'll start all over again. Is it a new earth? Well, yeah, it's a refreshed earth. Without all the pollution and garbage. Without all that's happened. Hebrews 8, 7 to 13. And if the first covenant had been faultless with no problem, then no place would have been sought for a second. If there's no problem with the first covenant, why have a second covenant? Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I'll make a new covenant, a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the hand to lead them in the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, it says Yahweh. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my word, my teachings in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them should teach his neighbor, none of brothers saying, know Yahweh, for all shall know me from the least of them, the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteous and the sins of their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And he says, a new covenant he made the first obsolete. Now what is being obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. That which is old, temporary, is vanishing away. But remember, the covenant itself was older. He restores it by putting another man to make covenant, and this man's not going to break it. Chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, same book. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you did had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O Elohim. Remember what the people said? All you say, we will do. That's what Yahweh wanted. Yahweh didn't want the sacrifices. He wanted obedience, and he wanted the word to match up with their actions, especially when choice came. And choice came when Moses was on the mountain. Moses wasn't there to go, oh, no, we don't make that choice. No. Choice came. It's like that college child whose first time away from home, and he gets to make choices without mom and dad there, really makes a point of who he is. Who he is and who he's going to be. Verse 8, previously saying sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you do not desire nor pleasure in them. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, but that he had been sanctified through the offering of the body of the Messiah Yeshua once for all. Once for all. Turn me to 1 Peter, not too far from there. 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting with verse 16. He's talking about words and people's tongues and what they're talking about and their lifestyle. Verse 3, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers. I think he's doing a little jab at, remember what Patrick said? You're not going to make a god of silver or gold. He's putting a jab at them a little bit here in the regard of the conduct of them and the corruptible things like silver and gold. You're not redeemed by them. But with the precious blood of the anointed, as of a lamb without blemish, without a spot, he indeed has foreordained before the foundation of the world, he was manifest in those times. Meaning he was, the word existed. You through him who believe in God, and that's significant, manifest in those times for you those that you may believe in who? Elohim. Who raised him, Yeshua, from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in Elohim. In Elohim. So, time to close up a little bit. Fasting. They started the whole thing up, fasting and the bridegroom. Well, guess what? If the word, if the covenant is being renewed and you're celebrating right now, why in the world are we even worried about fasting? You see, fasting is like sacrifices. We fast. Why? Because we're afraid we sinned. I'm not saying we're not supposed to fast. Remember, Yeshua said there'll be a time when the bridegroom goes away, when there's a separation between us and the Word. And they'll fast. But why the Word's with you? When you're in that place of obedience and mercy and joy, why in the world would you fast? It's a time to praise, to shout, to scream. The bridegroom, new covenant, not new as in like, oh, we're throwing the old one out. No, no, renewed. See, there was a problem with the first covenant. Us. We can't make a relationship with Yahweh because every time we do, we break the commandments, every choice we make. Choose you this day. Break. Choose you this day. Break. So he goes, you know what? Like the 70 elders, I'm going to have one person come forth and be the representative. I'm going to have one. A new patch. Not a new patch. We don't come up with fasting or new regulations to fix what happened. No, no, no. Yahweh will fix it. And if there's going to be a patch to our covering, it has to be from the original garment. And so Adam is taken out, and a new Adam is replacing him. This new Adam, new man, existed as a word prior to Adam even being formed. From the original garment. Thus it's not going to shrink. Thus it is without spot or blemish. New wine and old wineskins. We are all here because we've tasted the old wine and it tastes good. Yeshua is at the first miracle as he goes to a wedding feast, right? Turns water into wine. The difference between good wine and old wine, quite often, is either the grapes that they're produced by or how long they've fermented. And what do they say? Oh, no, no, no. Usually they don't give the good stuff at the end of the party. And remember this point of a new lamb is a new beginning. Remember Passover? When you go out to get a lamb, it's a new beginning to you. He's connecting it to that. Old is better. You want to go check a teaching? You go back and you check it versus the reality of Torah. You find it in Torah. Because I can promise It already exists. Just like the patch already existed. We don't need to go running out for new wine. What's intriguing is this scripture quite often is used to strengthen or promote this idea of a new covenant, and thus the old covenant is fading away. And so we have a new group of believers and a new congregation. And Yahweh's working in a new way. What scares me with that is, when does Yahweh go, you know what, I've been playing with this toy for a while, I'm done, I got another toy. You know? If Yahweh's that way, I played with this toy, it was good, but I now have a new toy, ooh, but now I can go. What's to say Yahweh won't do the same with us? But if Yahweh was faithful from the beginning to man, even though all we did is break, 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 and from the foundations, before the earth was even spoken into existence, Yahweh already had this set up and that patch ready to go. Before it was needed. Before it was needed. So what did Yeshua change? Very little. Every part of his life was restoring the Torah and the teachings back to what they were supposed to be. And if there were traditions, like washing your hands a certain way, otherwise if you touch something and become unclean, he said, no, 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 you're putting your new words on top of Yahweh's commands. That's wrong. You can't do that. Last time I said, he took away the enmity, which means we have to live with him forever. Does not mean something changed here on earth. The thing that changed was in the heavens. It means that if you have a faithful life, Yahweh says, if you're faithful, you'll be given a long life. I don't think he means you're going to live to be like 150. I think the long life is you'll be able to be with him. And if you're with him, you stop counting years. You stop counting years. We are blessed. The Yeshua changed something. It was the infection of us. And you know what? Yahweh is still using his word to change all of the infections that are on our skin today. One by one, day by day, restoring them, giving us a new covering, new blessings every morning. Because that's the way his word has been, will be, and has been forever and ever. Hallelujah. All right. Another blessing that Yahweh gives us. Yahweh gives us his name. And we not really understand how important it is that his name is upon us. It's the same as a husband and a wife. The husband gives the name to the wife. They're one, unified. And that's a blessing because it is important to know that we are one with him. Yevarecha Yahweh vayishmerecha. Yahweh bendiga ipoteha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavelecha vihunecha. Yahweh aga surosa respendeser sobreti ite otorge subandar. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh panavidecha, v'yisem lecha shalom. Ki Yahweh muestre su rostro resplendecer sobre ti, ite conceda su paz. Yahweh make his face turn toward you and give you His perfect peace. Shabbat Shalom.